Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
WEEI Afternoons, reminder, stick around 4:30, our weekly chat with Brian Hoyer. I'm interested to hear his take, Ted, on your skip and rip.
Yeah.
What he thinks of that sort of technique for Drake May.
Yeah.
Have you copyrighted it yet, Ted?
How do I do that? So I put it out on Twitter. I put it out on Instagram, and so I said it on my radio show.
You've gotten it out there publicly, tied to you.
I've yet to hear anybody else coin the phrase. So
I would put it on the USPTO.com. See if you.
Well, it was in a breakdown. So there's video evidence. Boom. There's digital evidence.
NBC Sports Boston might try to claim ownership. You said it on the breakdown.
I don't know how you monetize a saying, but. It'd be nice.
T-shirts, apparel, merch. It's always about merch.
Michael Buffer, you can't say, let's get rid of blank.
Don't say it.
Don't. Please don't. God, no, please don't.
I said blank.
Bill Belichick is the head coach at University of North Carolina. He has a 4-6 football team. Stiz, if you were wondering what the record is, with two games to play.
Oh, he still make the bowl eligible.
Could get bowl eligible. And he will go to a bowl if he's bowl eligible, because they'll want the circus that is Bill Belichick as part of the buildup. They lost 28-12 to Wake Forest. So I want to start there with the game. Little story about the game. Wake Forest had the ball late, up 21-12. They were just going to sit on it in the red zone, Ted. They were just going
to
kneel on it.
Yeah, they were happy to just kind of...
Respectful, go with the victory.
Ted,
you know what Bill Belichick decided to do?
What did he do?
He called a timeout. You know what UNC Wake Forest decided to do? Well, if you're going to stop the clock and call a timeout, we're not kneeling on it.
Let me ask you this. Can you tell me the score and situation when he called? What was the score? Was he calling a timeout hoping that he'd get the ball back?
He said, quote, he was asked about it postgame, and he said, quote, I just didn't know what they were going to do, so I called a timeout.
Oh, so... Bill, wow.
I'm sorry. I didn't know what they were going to do. Here's what Bill. I can give you this just in. They were going to win. That's what they were.
They were going to kneel on it, and they were going to. And so they decided to then score a touchdown, which is common, which is something Bill would do if the shoe were on the other foot, and somebody did that to Bill. He absolutely would.
We got some audio that'll kind of hammer that point down.
Yes, Dan Ball.
Timeout was taken. It appears with 4:36 left in the fourth quarter. It was a second down and 6, and the game at the time was 21-12. So I guess maybe he could define it as I'm trying to save clock to try to score a touchdown to tie it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's still a two score. I mean, they don't give 8 points in college, do they?
Nope. If you watch the post game, the head coach, and I'm sorry I'm disrespectful, I don't know the head coach at Wake Forest, but he's approaching midfield for, you know, the typical handshake.
Yeah.
Takes his hat off, which is obviously a sign of respect, correct?
Bill go in for a nice little hug?
Bill didn't break stride. I'm not sure he even made contact with the coach's hand. He just kept right on walking. So
He didn't even shake his hand.
It's hard to see in the video I saw if the hands even made contact.
He shook his hand a little bit.
It's a one pump shake. It's like a one shake hand.
Stiz, your hero and idol. Is he okay with that behavior, or did he do anything?
Maybe he had a hot date with Jordan. I don't know. Give the guy a break.
Can I also just mention briefly, gentle friends, that you know, if we're gonna, so often we end up getting into Brady or Belichick territory whenever we mention one or the other. It's like they're inextricably tied together forever. But Brady was one of the sourest sports in the world. How many does he have? Still zero handshakes with Nick Foles to date?
Oh yeah, no.
But you got to understand though, Belichick is calling a timeout to try and get the ball back to win the game.
Right.
Correct.
And so the coach for Wake Forest is like, oh, okay, that's how you see this game is still in within reach.
So I'll just
then I'm going to try and score so that it's out of reach totally.
Right.
And Bill didn't like that.
Bill doesn't like anything right now is the way I would. Yes, Dan Ball?
The last timeout, by the way, was 27 seconds, so it was much later on in that drive.
Yeah, that's the one. I thought that information didn't. It was 27 seconds left.
They called all three during the course of that drive. That's what that's
27 seconds, and Bill calls a timeout.
Yes.
For what reason?
His answer... I didn't know what they were going to do.
That's insane. Bill, that makes no sense.
It didn't make any sense when I heard the post game.
Shooter's going to shoot.
But, hey, man, he's a great builder of programs. Wow. Yikes.
Stiz is now just going to start throwing out cliches.
You play to win.
Okay.
You got anything else left in there, Herm?
What else you got?
That's about it.
Okay. But then the biggest piece of news over the weekend, and I saw this on my Instagram, and I had to do like a double and triple take because I was going to repost it because I feel like sometimes we're in the business of reposting things. It was supposedly a statement from Bill Belichick, head football coach, North Carolina, regarding NFL interests. And I was like,
his
is this
name was
real?
On the head letter.
I know, but I was worried in this day and age. I was looking, trying to make sure I wasn't getting catfished.
Somebody hacked?
Yeah, I didn't know. Because I didn't want to be that guy that
because
reposts.
There were words that were misspelled.
There was definitely words.
Sentences that were, you know.
Oh, Jordan's got her fingertips all over this. So we all know that we've been talking about it. This speculation, NBC Sports Boston, it's fun talk show fodder. Could the Giants go after Bill? They need a head coach. Bill Belichick doesn't have a job.
That was a big talking point last week.
Okay, so because
of
that.
Great minds think alike. There you go.
Bill Belichick issued a statement over the weekend. Here, I'm going to read you the statement. Friday night.
Less than 24 hours before he played Wake Forest.
Right. And I would like to criticize him to say where's his focus at, where's his mind at.
But?
I think this was all Jordan. And he just stamped it.
Oh, my God. He approved it, though.
He definitely approved it.
God. So
I'm not sure
Bill's fault.
It's Bill's fault. It's all Bill's fault. He's in control of her.
Okay.
She goes with him. But I just don't think he spent a lot of time on it because I think even he might have caught the spelling mistake in here if he had actually even read it. She might have read it to him over the phone. But
there's a spelling mistake in there?
Oh, yeah. There's an homonym. Is that what they're called when they sound the same but they are spelled differently?
That is correct.
This is, quote, I have great respect and genuinely care for the New York Giants organization and both the Mara and Tisch families. The New York Giants played an important role in my life and in my coaching journey. Next paragraph. Yes, this statement has paragraphs. It was a privilege for me to work for the Mara family and be a member of Coach Parcells' staff for over a decade. However, despite circulating rumors, I have not and will not pursue any NFL head coaching vacancies. New paragraph. Since arriving at Chapel Hill, my commitment to the UNC football program has not wavered, like the waiver wire, there's an I in there that shouldn't be in there, has not wavered. We have tremendous support from the university, our alumni, and the entire Carolina community. New paragraph. My focus remains solely on continuing to improve this team, develop our players, and build a program that makes Tar Heel fans proud. We're on to Wake Forest. Narrator. They lost to Wake Forest 28-12 when you called a dingbat timeout late in the game.
Wow.
But Bill Belichick, and the thing I want to ask you here, do you believe this word matters? Have not and will not pursue any NFL head coaching vacancies. Is that the out? Is that a very calculated word? He didn't say I wouldn't take a job. I would not take a job. He said I will not pursue a job.
No.
Which I think matters.
No, Andy, I look at it as he knows nobody wants him in the NFL.
Well, that's
so true. He's saying, I am not pursuing any jobs that might be potentially out there available to me in the future. I don't want them. I'm going to break up with them before they can break up with me. That's how Bill likes to do it.
Yes, Dan Ball?
Andy, I'm on your side on this, on the use of the word pursue, because of what came out at 8:13 p.m. that night from Tom Pelissero. And you can't read it in a normal voice, by the way.
Okay, so you're going to do it.
You're going to read it in Tom Pelissero's voice?
You're going to actor voice?
No, I'm going to read it in Batman's voice.
Oh, here we go.
Bill Belichick learned from his experience with the Falcons 2 years ago, if he ever returns to the NFL, it will happen in the dark of night. No drawn-out process. No interviews. No public spectacle. One day, he will just be coach. Until then, we're on to other candidates. Are you kidding me, Tom Pelissero?
Wow.
I respected him as a professional until that one.
So
Remember what Ted said about Jaylen Brown and how Andy treats him? That's what I'm implying about Tom Pelissero on that one.
So
don't ever question Pelissero.
That's unbelievable. So Bill's never coaching again, because I'm sorry.
Tom, wipe your face off.
Even if you could draw up a scenario that a team would have interest in Bill Belichick, they're not going to do it without an interview, without a process. So if he thinks he's only taking a job basically that is just given to him, carte blanche. Oh, Bill, you're the coach. You tell me how much you're making. You tell me who you're bringing. You tell me how you're going to. That's never going to happen. Literally never going to happen.
No.
It's
he knows that, but he wants you all to think that there's teams that are still interested in him.
When we also have, and Diana Russini, I know people have varying opinions on her reporting, but as for the Giants, she reported, they have already have a short list of candidates to replace Dable, the kind every well-run organization keeps in a drawer for moments like this. Despite the obvious connections to the six-time Super Bowl champion Bill Belichick, the organization's respect for his accomplishments, I'm told he was never on their radar and wouldn't have been now.
Oh, I mean, dude, that's the Giants sticking it to him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they should have.
Like, absolutely.
Because who are you, Bill, to just act like we were waiting for you to, you know, give a statement.
I would have been pissed if I were the Giants, too. First of all, I don't believe, Fitzy, there were ever any, like, reports that the Giants were interested. It was all the media speculating, having fun, doing radio, doing TV.
Bill knows that, 100%. And he still puts out a statement.
Right, I thought he ignored the noise. Now he's answering rumors on letterhead with four-paragraph statements.
Ignore the noise has been dead longer than his pro coaching prospect. Come on, we all know
that. You think Bill actually lived by the words he said?
No, I don't.
Do as I say, not I as
don't.
I do.
And finally, we have some audio here from NFL Network. That is, it's a little bit longer, so Ted, feel free if you need to stop at any moment. Because
throw up on myself?
Whatever you need to do, okay. If you express yourself in any way you can. The Bill Belichick situation.
Well, Bill Belichick put out a statement on Friday night saying he has not and will not pursue any NFL head coaching vacancies. However, I can tell you at least one team has done very initial homework on Belichick and the situation at North Carolina.
Ted wants to stop. I see his face.
Whoa, who's what? What?
One team has done very initial work.
Very initial work.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? You know,
did they Google his coaching record or like his age? Bill Belichick age.
Misworded that, but you know, which I tend to do every segment. So I'm giving him a break on that, but this is interesting. I'm hooked in. I can't wait to hear the rest of this.
Ted Johnson's hooked. Play on.
And anything that Belichick or whoever runs his Instagram is saying to reassure recruits
time
in
out,
November.
Time out. That's a shot from Tom Pelissero at Jordan. Like, he's like, Belichick or whoever runs his Instagram. That's a shot not so subtle at Jordan. There's no doubt in my mind.
Okay.
Well, the Carolina Creeper or whatever.
He's carrying
that thing
the water for Bill, but just not for Jordan.
Correct.
Okay.
All interesting. Right. Okay, play.
Instagram is saying to reassure recruits in November really has no bearing on what could happen come January. Go back 2 years. Belichick pursued the Falcons head coaching vacancy.
Stop.
He played
stop.
The game.
Word choice.
Really?
Did he Belichick pursued well, the Falcons.
He technically did, mm-hmm. though.
No, I know, but I think it's important. He's saying he pursued them. He didn't say the Falcons pursued him, did he?
Oh, no, that's
he
that's
said
fair.
Belichick
Ooh, that's fair.
Pursued the Falcons.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
So out
true.
Of respect, they gave him an interview.
Right.
They were just doing him a Bill, because you're Bill. Normally, we don't let people apply. We ask them if they want to interview.
Yeah. We don't really want to hire you, but we'll go through this song and dance so that you look good.
Tom Pelissero said Bill pursued the Falcons. Roll it.
The Falcons head coaching vacancy. He played the game. He went through the same process as everyone else. Ultimately, he was surprised and embarrassed that they hired Raheem Morris instead. What I can tell you from speaking with people who know Belichick well is this. If Belichick ever returns to the NFL, it will happen in the dark of night. No interviews, no public spectacle, no drawn-out process. Some team will go through the NFL-mandated process, check every box, and then offer the job to Belichick. Unless and until that happens,
stops.
Rich, we're on to other candidates.
How does he know that? How does he know that's
he
what's
talked
gonna,
to people that
in
know
the
Bill
dark
or something.
Of night?
How does he know that? He's just making stuff. Has he talked to a team that's going to hire him in the dark of night?
You know what this all sounds like to me? That sounds like something Lombardi would say. The egocentric Lombardi.
Ooh.
Bill ain't interviewing. Bill ain't you do your thing and you make him the coach in the dark of night. Otherwise, he ain't coming.
But that's a fascinating soundbite right there, because I'd never heard anybody frame it that he was embarrassed. Surprised, but embarrassed. Bill, Bill's embarrassed. He just would never show it to you. He would never want you to think he's ever embarrassed.
But Mike Lombardi let you know right there in his comments to Tom Pelissero, as I would say, that he is embarrassed. And remember when Bill, and I'll get to you one second, Diz, remember when Bill and Mike Lombardi, one of their podcasts that they did during his off year, remember when they were mocking the NFL? Like, it's so poorly run.
How,
you got teams
how
that
so?
Don't... No, literally mocking.
Oh, yeah, they were.
They
oh,
were like,
yeah.
no, not like subtly or like, right. Like they said, like it's an embarrassment.
I forgot where he said it.
It was one of those one of their appearances together. Yeah, yeah, it might have been the coach's podcast that became the Pablo
Once
Torre
they knew
thing.
They were shut out of the NFL, then all the barbs at the NFL.
Oh, I think that was, it was like, that was one of the sit downs. He was having a chat with Patricia on the Underdog Coach.
Yes. Yeah. And they were mocking the NFL that, like, we're not in the league, but we know how to run it better than these 32 teams that are in the league right now. Stiz.
Can I just say quickly?
Oh, by all means.
I do think that you got, like, it's like he can't get a break, right? So, regardless
if only Bill Belichick could catch a break.
Regardless, someone will cut him some slack, Stan.
Yeah, just getting a quarterback in the sixth round isn't the biggest break ever.
Wait a minute. Regardless of whether or not there's any truth to the matter of any NFL teams would consider bringing Belichick check back. The truth of the matter is these rumors were out here, right? So I feel like if he didn't address the rumors, you guys would come on here and say, oh, look at this. He's just letting these rumors sit out here and not, you know, coming out and saying like, nope, I'm fully committed to UNC. And so he does that, just puts out a statement, not like it took up a lot of time. All right, I approve, put out something, you know, he's still focused on the game, and you guys rip him for that. He's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't.
I just would push back on that we would be sitting here saying, oh, he's doing UNC a disservice by not putting out a statement.
I would have never said
those
that.
Words would never have come out of my mouth, I can guarantee
now,
that.
How much more dog and pony show, like, they've already put up with so much, do you think that they're just going to stick it out the rest of the year and then reevaluate everything come January, February, or March?
Wait, who?
Because UNC must just be like...
Well, they have two games left.
Yeah, no, they're not going to fire him.
Still, if they didn't fire him at the bye week,
they wanted to get SEC attention, not LOL attention.
And Stiz, you were right. They sold a lot of tickets. Now, what's the phrase they use? Like, tickets unused or whatever? Because I watched one of those games.
Nobody there?
Like, all the shots of the sideline, all those good seats behind the sideline, which I'm guessing are expensive.
They're getting concessions.
Thousands of people at a time?
Just, they're a little late getting to the start of the game.
30% of the crowd.
It's
like,
not
it was
Chavez
bad.
Ravine.
No. It. No one's going to the games now.
We got to play this audio.
Okay, you got audio. What do you got?
All right, so go back to tell the – so the calls a timeout at the end of this
27
last
seconds left. The other team's going to take a knee to just end the game. Bill calls a timeout. Why? Because he didn't know what they were going to do, he said.
Yep. And then after the game – What did Wake Forest do? They said,
they
okay, you're gonna call a
scored.
Timeout. Then we're gonna score. We're gonna score and just make the lead even bigger. And then after the game, Bill doesn't even give the handshake to the other team's coach because he's mad that the guy scored, even though he calls the timeout. This is interesting. Listen to this audio. This was a video that Bill showed us as a team back in 2003 or four one time. And basically his theme was finish the race, and he showed us this video of a very famous Belmont Stakes race back in 1973.
Everybody's in line, and they're off. Secretary of the Way very well has good position on the rail, and in fact is now going up with the leader. They're in the stretch. Secretariat has opened a 22-length lead. He is going to be the Triple Crown winner. Here comes Secretariat to the wire. An unbelievable, an amazing performance. He hits the finish. 25 front. An amazing, unbelievable performance by this miracle horse. And look at Mrs. Tweeding. She's having the time of her life.
So, Secretariat wins by 31 lengths, the Belmont Stakes. It's a standing record. He broke the record for the fastest time at the mile and a half distance in the dirt track in a time of 2 minutes and 24 seconds, a record that still stands today. The point of that is he showed us that video and said, we're going to finish every game. We're not kneeling. We're going to squeeze every ounce of every point we can and keep every team off the board as we can. And it was a 31 lengths. It wasn't, hey, let's win by a couple lengths. Let's win by 10 lengths. 31 lengths Secretariat won by, and he used that as an example of how we needed to play, yet he's not shaking the hand of the guy that was finishing the race. Unbelievable.
That explains a lot from 2007, Ted.
And oh, then, yeah, his whole run up the score. Absolutely. Yeah. That's that mentality, the 31 lengths and just keep putting up the points. So we continue to talk about Bill Belichick when he forces us to talk about him. And I would argue, for those of you that wonder why you talk, he put out a statement. He continues to put out statements. Yep. He's the former head coach of the New England Patriots who's putting out statements while struggling at UNC.
He would have been better off not putting a statement out.
Oh, 100%. But you have Jordan, who runs his personal and professional PR and whatever he gave her credit for, and this is what you get. Yes, Dan Ball.
My focus remains solely on continuing to improve the team, develop our players, unless there's a single rumor about me from an aggregator from an NFL team.
And then I'll put out a release. And by the way,
on my team's official Instagram. No,
I also
don't forget that.
Won't pursue a job, but if one is offered to me in the darkness of night, I'm the hell out of here, and I'm taking that job. Thanks, Tom Palisaro.
Well done. Phone lines are open.
Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it is one of our favorite interviews of the week. It's Brian Hoyer breaking down all things NFL quarterback play and Patriots. Brian Hoyer here on EEI. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Tuesday at 4:30 here on WEEI Afternoons. That means it's time for our weekly chat with former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer. Mr. Hoyer, how are we doing this week?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
We're great. We had a little Thursday night football led into a mini bye. It was a fun weekend.
Yeah.
So I watched a bunch of football over the weekend, like I'm sure all of us did, and that got me, you know, comparing, thinking about the other teams. You watch the Bills and you watch the Broncos, the Chiefs. So Brian Hoyer, are the Patriots the best team in the AFC? And I'd also ask a secondary question. Could you defend both sides of the argument? Why are they the best team, or why would you argue against them?
Yeah, I think they're one of the best teams. I think I'm going to use Bill Belichick's old adage here is football season doesn't start until after Thanksgiving. So you want to be in the place that the Patriots are to be able to have a meaningful football season after Thanksgiving. But you're right. I mean, look. I don't only just cover the Patriots, so I have to watch a lot of this stuff. And I would say I don't think there's a team that is better than the Patriots. I'll say that. I don't know if they're better than if the Patriots are better than all the other teams in the AFC, but I don't think there's anybody that you can say right now that is a better team than New England Patriots.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's certainly worthy of an argument for sure, Brian. I'm curious what you think of just. Not only the Patriots as maybe the best team, but what about Drake May and his kind of the pantheon of great quarterbacks in this league? I mean, how does he stack up to the Mahomes and the Josh Allens? Do you think he's on his way to being better than them? Do you think he's playing better than them? Like, how would you compare his style to those guys? Just Drake May compared to the other great quarterbacks in the league.
I think you got to look at it two ways. One, obviously, Mahomes has won Super Bowls. Josh Allen has won MVPs. And so if you're going to look off of a resume, obviously, they have more time and experience and more success. But if you're going off of who's playing better right now, you think you have to give it to Drake May. I would say the only person playing the position potentially better than Drake May is Matthew Stafford. And I would say, Stafford has 17 years of experience. So when you compare it to a 23-year-old only in his second season, I think it makes it that more impressive. But, you know, Drake is just, to me, I was at the game live and in person last Thursday, and it looks so effortless. I think for me, I watch it on TV or the coach's tape. And when you see it in person, you're like, man, the way he just steps up, he just glides through the pocket and hangs in there and delivers these strikes down the field or, you know, the play on the sideline, which was very Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes-esque. And I think the one thing that I've seen, and I've said this going back to last year, is I thought he was somewhere in between a Justin Herbert and a Josh Allen type player. But I think we got to start looking at Drake May as his own person. Like, people are going to start comparing other young kids to Drake May and what he does. And he's done it so well, and it's been a lot of fun to watch.
All right, Brian, so if you look at the season like it's in stages, basically, he's coming up on the final third of it. You know, they're at 9-2. The first third of the season was kind of off to a rough start, but then he got himself settled, started to flash. In the middle part of the season, he absolutely took his game to not just another level, but beyond expectations. What do you think Drake's goals, aside from making the playoffs and staying healthy, should be for the final third of the season?
Yeah, I think just continue on the rise that he's been on. And I think the one thing that we're going to see here is, you know, up until this point, I would say the microscope has not been on them, right? They've exceeded expectations. Now, as you go, and as I mentioned, you get past Thanksgiving and you're in the driver's seat in the AFC East and you have an ability to potentially be the number one seed, that pressure starts to grow. And I think the one thing that we've seen from this kid is it doesn't affect him. And that's, I said this last year, watching him as a 22-year-old rookie quarterback in a bad situation, the way he carries himself was always the most impressive thing that I saw from him last year. And last week we had John Gruden on our podcast, and we were asking him, how do you evaluate these quarterbacks? He said, I do something unique. I go and watch their college press conferences after a loss and how they carry themselves. And he goes, I tell you what, Drake May was one of the best ever. And honestly, it made a lot of sense because that's what we saw from him last year in tough times. And now he's learning how to handle the good times as well. And so I think just continue on that progression, become even more of a leader of that team, even though that seems crazy to think of at 23 years old. But those guys are embracing him. They're following in his footsteps. And it's a great thing for not just the offense, but the entire team.
Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer here on WEEI Afternoons. Brian, I want you to expand on that a little because I was kind of thinking that area. I'm sure you saw the post-game press conference where Will Campbell came in, and it was the first time ever I saw Drake May as a goofy 23-year-old. When his whole voice changed, he's like, man, get out of here, rookie, and he almost had to compose himself. He was giggling at the podium, and I'm wondering, like, how big a part of the job is that? We've heard this, there's no day off for the quarterback when you're the quarterback of an NFL team. And how impressed have you been with that aspect of it, just being like, see, he sounds like a 30-year-old leader who answers every question right, and then you forget he's 23.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great example. His play is an example that you forget he's 23 years old. He's been so calm, cool, collected. And really, I was writing my notes down today as I was getting ready to obviously talk to you guys and some of the other things that I do. And I can't remember the last time I saw Drake force a throw into a bad situation based on a bad read or whatever. Like, I literally can't remember the last time I saw it. It might have been the Pittsburgh game. And so when a guy is playing at that high of a rate or a high level, it elevates everybody else. And I'm not going to compare him to Tom Brady, but that's what Tom did, right? He was so on top of it, and he rarely ever made a mistake that everybody else was like, well, man, if he's doing it that way, we all have to get up to that level. And so I think you're seeing that, but to your point, there are moments where you see, like, man, this kid is only 23 years old. Like, if it's this good now, what's it going to be next year, 2 years, 5 years down the road? And that's what I think, you know, you have to be excited about. But I think right now the league and the conference are there for their taking, and there's no need to wait, right? Like, there's no need to say we'll get them next year. I think they have a very unique camaraderie and team chemistry that, like I said before, I sat there and watched football just like the rest of you. There's not a team that I watch play on Sunday or Monday that I don't think the Patriots could beat.
Yeah, they do have. You know what? I'm going to go that direction. Talk about the camaraderie. You kind of hear about some of the stuff Vrabel's doing, getting, you know, guys signed up for massages, getting them IVs after the Tampa Bay game. Brian, how do you manage a team that's kind of feeling themselves right now? I mean, they went from being the hunter to being the hunted, and you know, that's psychologically a very different kind of thing to have to deal with. How do you think Mike is handling just their enormous success that they're having right now?
Yeah, I think you use a little bit of that old adage that you and I learned for all those years is don't believe or fuel the hype. And they've done a tremendous job of that. I think the one thing that I think is so cool watching Vrabel coach, having been a Super Bowl winning player, a high level captain of a team, like the way he manages the team is awesome. Like, he's like, look, we're going to celebrate this win. We're going to have fun winning, and then we're going to get back to work. And I think he you know, himself, and you, Ted, you know him probably better even than I do, is this guy is the ultimate competitor, and he's an alpha dog. And what I've seen is the team kind of take on that mentality. They don't care what other people think. They don't care that people are questioning their schedule or whatever it might be. They're like, you know what? So what? Who are we going to play this week, and how can we beat them? And that's the right mentality to have. And you just got to carry that through no matter what the stakes become. That's the mentality you have. I don't care if they get to the AFC Championship game. They cannot change who they are. They just got to keep improving and keep believing in one another. And honestly, like I said, not a team I'm scared of for them to play.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of also hear that in the way Vrabel has been conducting his interviews, even just with our radio station, talking about how, you know, the only thing that really can stop us is us. And that's kind of the way that he's been building the confidence in these guys. And one of the things that should help the Patriots not get stopped is the ascension of Travion Henderson the last couple of weeks, Brian. Just tell me from a confidence perspective in an offense what it does when you have a guy that you can hand the ball off to that at any point can either A, get you those 3 yards you need, or B, take it 60 yards to the house.
Yeah, it's been incredible, and obviously we've been waiting for it to pop, and the past 2 weeks I'd say he's done a tremendous job in multiple different ways. Long runs, tough runs at the goal line, obviously the pass, which was such a well-designed play by Josh last week, you know, splash the water, digs in the backfield, put him out to the flat, Drake pumps to digs, he's wide open. I mean, it's almost a perfect combination. And so I think the one thing, you know, and I'm thinking back to all the years I played with the Patriots, we never really had a guy who you said you could hand it off on the opposite 30, and if he gets through the front seven, he could take it 70 yards. And so to add that element to this offensive system is just another layer that defenses have to be worried about. And I think that's the greatest thing. And look, I know they didn't rush for a ton of yards last Thursday night against the Jets, but there were some explosive pass plays off of play action. And that you earn those plays by running the ball well. And so maybe the Jets felt like they had to commit to stopping the run. And I can think of three plays off the top of my head that were explosive play action pass plays that sometimes you got to kind of consider that in your running game as well. And so I think they will continue to grow. And I think the one thing that you say about Travion, if the line and the tight end can just get him past the front seven, he's either going to take it 70 yards to the house, or he's going to make the safety or corner who comes up to tackle him pay, because he's not scared of contact. He's going to run guys over as well. And so it's a great change up to the backfield. And hopefully Mondre gets back here soon. You get back to a little bit more of that 1-2 punch. But I think now, you know, he's gone out and earned the right for more repetition. The guys trust him, and I'm sure he trusts himself as well.
Brian, what do you need to see from this offense down the home stretch? If they're going to be the best team they can be in January, what are the couple things they need to get better at?
I think they just need to clean up their run game blocking a little bit. You see a little bit of, you know, not always being connected when they're in the double team blocks. You know, I saw a play the other night, and I was talking about it with David Anders today. You know, single back power play, pulling to the right. The left guard, Wilson's going to pull for the Sam. All of a sudden, he blitzes. Now he's got to switch to the mic. Like, little things like that. That'll put you over the edge, and then I think you just continue to try to stay healthy. I mean, that's the one thing no one's really talked about, and I know, you know, they lost Milton Williams for about 4 weeks, but they've been relatively healthy, and I think that's the one thing. You're going to get, hopefully, Booty back this week. You get Mondre back, and you hope that you just have that luck of the draw and keep the majority of your team healthy, because, as you know, Ted, nothing's more important than the health of the team, and if you can keep everybody relatively, no one's going to be 100% this time of year, but if you keep people coming in for the massages, you keep people coming in for treatment on the days off, and you're able to miss the big one, that'll give you the best opportunity to win come January.
Okay, Brian, I feel like this hasn't really been talked a lot about, but I feel like I've kind of zeroed in on it, and I was kind of wondering, like, what is Drake doing that is so unique to me? And I started realizing that he kind of jumps in when he throws, like that touchdown to Travion Henderson. It's like he skips. He like jumps off his right foot and then he throws it. And so I've coined the phrase skip and rip, right? I don't know what else to coin it.
I like it.
And so have you noticed the same thing? Obviously, I can hear you. But why does he leave his feet to make some of those throws? And why? How is he so accurate when he does leave his feet?
No, I've picked on that too, and it's a little bit of, you know, Aaron Rodgers has kind of been a skip and rip guy. I mean, he's one of the unique guys who can actually do it, and I think it's also that it shows you the transition of how throwing a football has really changed in the last 15 to 20 years, even since I came in the NFL. It's about producing ground force. And look, we all know they've been showing, you know, Nick Saban recruiting Drake in high school and him playing basketball. He was a great basketball player, probably has that jump shot.
Yeah.
So it helps actually generate a lot of that ground force and get up the energy from the ground, your legs up into the football. And he's just so big and strong. It becomes really easy for him to do. So you're not the only one who's noticed it, Ted. I'm right there with you.
Fitzy.
Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were wrapping up. Last question for me, Brian. Do you think any adversity will help Drake along the way? Like a stumble or a tough game or like some sort of like learning bump along the way be good for him? Or do you just want to see him continue along this great ascension?
Yeah, look, adversity is coming at some point, one way or the other. It's how you deal with it. And I think the one thing that he's shown is whether it was last year dealing with adversity week in and week out, or even just a few weeks ago. I remember that clip of it was against the Falcons. He fumbles the ball. He throws the pick, and Vrabel's over there to support him. And I think that's the one thing now that he's proven it. You know, adversity will come, but he's been able to be resilient. And also the team has been resilient around him, and they all are going to rally around him as well. And so, look, if you go on a playoff run, you're going to run into a tough drive or a tough few series or whatever it might be. But the kid has proven that he's got a very short memory, whether it's good or bad. And I think that's one of his best qualities. So, look, adversity is going to come. There's no way that we talked this about a few weeks ago. Like, you can't throw for over 200 yards and have 100-plus pass rating every game in the NFL. I mean, it would be absurd. So it's going to happen, and he's proven that he can deal with it. And you just hope that it happens before it comes to that critical point and he's able to get through it.
The adversity left the building to Dallas in the offseason. Joe Milton, when he left the building, that's where all the adversity went. So
cleared the deck.
All right, Brian, appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you massaging Ted's ego and agreeing with him on the analysis of Drake May's technique.
Brian.
He needed that, the linebacker.
I mean, Ted, you did it. You know just as well as me.
We'll talk to you next week, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, guys.
That's former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, I had a high school football coach who used to say, when you scored a touchdown, act like you've been there before and you'll be there again. But Brian Hoyer does not sound like he thinks the Patriots should treat the postseason like that. Don't act like you'll be there again, Patriots. We'll talk about that next here on
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
WEEI Afternoons.
There are moments where you see, like, man, this kid is only 23 years old. Like, if it's this good now, what's it going to be next year, 2 years, 5 years down the road? And that's what I think, you know, you have to be excited about. But I think right now the league and the conference are there for their taking, and there's no need to wait, right? Like, there's no need to say, we'll get them next year. I think they have a very unique camaraderie and team chemistry that, like I said before, I sat there and watched football just like the rest of you. There's not a team that I watch play on Sunday or Monday that I don't think the Patriots could beat.
Brian Hoyer, former Patriots quarterback. I loved that answer. Loved the whole interview. If you want to hear the whole thing, go back on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Use the rewind feature or follow WEEI Afternoons podcasts anywhere you get your podcasts. But that mentality, why not us? Why not now? Yeah, the future's bright, 100%. It's great. You got Vrabel and you got May. Who knows? You're guaranteed nothing. What we do know is they're 9-2. And as Hoyer said, if you look around, who are you afraid of? Who do you think you can't beat? Yeah, the Broncos have a good pass rush. Do I think that'll be an easy game? No. Do I think Drake May will be challenged by that Broncos defense if you get to that point where you're playing them? Absolutely. But okay, I think Bo Nix should be challenged by Drake May and saying, oh man, I got to keep up with Drake May. I'm going to have to score some points today. And maybe you take Bo Nix out of his comfort zone. So
you know, the cautionary tales, the Lions, right? Everybody thought the Lions are great. You know, the Commanders, where you're going. Oh, we're going to be in the NFC title game every year. That nothing is guaranteed except the opportunity that you have given yourself. And, you know, the whole, was it Brady that used to say, like, I didn't come this far just to come this far. Correct. Kind of thing? This feels like one of those seasons.
Well, but Mike also was on that 0-1 team that knows that we were 1-5-win team the year before.
Yeah.
So the Rams have won a Super Bowl, winning four games the year before. So it happens all the time. So to think that you can't be a bad team and then all of a sudden win the whole thing is, history would show you that, no, yeah, you can.
So let's freaking do it. I'm kind of getting on the bandwagon. I feel like I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. Am I setting myself up for the typical disappointment?
Well, there's still some issues. You want me to go over them with you? I mean, I could go over the
issues.
Is this
going to involve the red zone?
It's going to involve red zone. It's going to involve some run defense, running the ball more effectively. Yeah, there's some issues with this team.
Yeah, but I feel like I could say that if I assigned you to give me the issues for all the contenders or all, you know, the Colts and the Broncos.
Yep.
I bet you'd find issues with all those teams, right?
Probably so, but I don't do radio on those others.
That's true.
Teams.
We have it here in Boston.
Isn't what's going on with the Patriots also a tale of what could be the NFL's dream and nightmare at the same time? It could be a nightmare as in, like, my God, this team just won six Super Bowls over a 20-year span a few years ago. It's not their time. But proving that you can go from four wins to 12, 13, 14, and then possibly reach the Super Bowl, like, that's ideal in the parity-based model, isn't it?
Oh, I think in a lot of ways this is perfect for the NFL. Because for the people that like the marquee franchises, the Patriots can really establish themselves as that. Because you had the Brady era, but if you have a May era right after that, now you're becoming the 49ers or the Packers who string together eras.
See,
the flip
that's
side,
interesting.
You don't think they like
I don't think people see the Patriots as like a 49ers or Cowboys or Steelers.
But this might make them. If Drake May starts this new 12-year run.
A 20-year run where you win six and go to the Super Bowl nine times isn't enough to get people to think of you that way?
As weird as it is to say, that was a one-off era, right? Now you extend it. But remember, so it was Joe Montana gave it to Steve Young, and then they had that next Super Bowl. Or Brett Favre gives it to Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl to Super Bowl.
But it was still within a 20-year period.
But it was different coaches, different quarterbacks. And I think that's your challenge. Now you have different coach, different quarterback. Right. I think it can, in a weird way, validate the greatness of the organization. The flip side is, though, Fitzy, you're right. It also says what you said, Ted. You won four games last year? Cry about it. Now go win next year. Right? Like, any team can prove in any given year you can go from four wins to the penthouse in the following season.
Yeah, hey, Arizona, get your blank together. It's right. Not our fault that you guys can't pick the right coach and quarterback.
I'm kind of curious. That's an interesting topic to me. Why don't the nation doesn't look at the Patriots the same way they look at the Cowboys, the same way they look at the Giants, the same way they look at those marquee blue blood programs?
This is how you do that.
You think?
Extending it and also aging. So the young people, like my son, grew up in the world of we only win, we're the Patriots. You know, he's now in college. If Drake May leads this for 10 years, he's going to be having kids and the next generation of Patriots are great dynasty and travel. And all of a sudden, you've become one of those.
If they hated us when they hated us last time. What do they think
correct.
Now?
But now you grow your fan base and you're one of those teams that dominates the national talk, even if you haven't won. Because after you do that. And we're up against it. We'll get out of here. But the Cowboys haven't won in forever, but they're still the Cowboys, right? They still have that legacy, multiple runs there in the 70s,
been over 30 years, and 90s. Somehow they're still thought of that way.
Yeah, so you could become that. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. It's the 2025 season. Let's let this one play out first before we have the next dynasty. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 5 o'clock. It's time for The Drive, and we are debating the point, and we need to get Ted Johnson to chime in with our boy Schlereth, our boy Hoyer. Are the Patriots the best team in the AFC? And what is the argument you make to declare that? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.